Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from IssuesProgram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you get any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out IssuesProgram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out IssuesProgram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
Hello, bastards and wenches, and welcome to a special Another Anime Convention 2018 edition of our one-on-one interview series. I know that there should be a normal episode of No Borders, No Race right now, but there are a couple of reasons behind that. First and foremost, Thanksgiving placed a lot of my normal prep time towards being with my friends and family, so I hope you can understand that. Second, we are actually just a couple of weeks away from our annual top albums list, and seeing as I am doing one list for J-pop and a collaborative list for non-J-pop records with Andrew of Wicked Anime, more time has to be placed to prep those lists. But trust me, the wait will be worth it. So today's podcast episode is all about the cool people we got to chat with at another anime convention. Now, if you want to hear a full recap of what happened at AAC this year, then in just a couple of days, you can hear myself, Elite Four Derek, and Kim, aka the lady formerly known as Pink Taco, chat about what occurred on the Wicked Anime podcast. But I will say this, despite the convention being moved this year to a smaller location, I think I had a lot more fun with AAC this time around than I did in the past. But, again, wait until Nerdy Show drops that episode this Thursday to hear all about it. With all of that being said, let's dive into this special one-on-one episode recorded at Another Anime Convention 2018 at the Doubletree Hotel in Nashua, New Hampshire, with special guests Ian Sinclair, Chuck Huber, J. Michael Tatum, and Brandon McGinnis. Right now is a very well-known voice actor who has made a name for himself for playing some of the coolest characters around. He's one hell of a dandy guy and may know a thing or two about some of the best food the galaxy has to offer, even though that food might be in a restaurant called Boobies. Please welcome Mr. Ian Sinclair. How are you doing today?
I'm doing quite well, thank you so much.
So I'm going to ask the first question that I'm sure everybody has always asked you. How did you get into the art of voice acting?
I was a theater student, and I had a fellow theater student who was working at Funimation bring me in on a tour, and for whatever reason, the director who was working at the time asked me if I wanted to do a line, and I said, sure, and that was going to be it. I wasn't expecting to work for them ever again. They didn't sign a contract, I didn't get paid, I just said the words yes, sir, for, I think it was Gunslinger Girl, something or other. Yeah. And I was a chauffeur in that. And then I came back 6 episodes later and said yes, sir, again. So they had to find me. So they gave me a contract, which is literally the only reason I'm here today.
And then I think it was about like a couple years later, you land your second role, which is your first leading role, which was Bamboo Blade.
Sure, yeah. That was too. See, you have a better knowledge of when all this happened than I do. It was a weird blur for me, but thank you.
But let's
let's talk more about recent stuff, because I know it seems like it's been around for a long time, but it hasn't been around for a long time. The Art of the Funimation Simuldub, and you were basically the guinea pig for it with Space Dandy.
Yeah, Dandy's the grandpappy of Simuldub.
So can you talk a bit about maybe some of the challenges when it came to voicing Dandy while you're still learning about him at the same time?
Well, the fortunate thing about Dandy is his mantra and his idea of life is just to live in the moment and to go with the flow, baby. And so what I had to do as an actor, and it took me an episode to understand that because I was still learning who he was, is that basically you should just do exactly what Dandy was. And it kind of worked. That mentality wouldn't work for every show with tons of continuity and everything, but basically every week Dandy got dropped onto a new planet and he goes, oh, this is weird. Cool. And so basically every week I would show up into a booth and I would look at a screen and I'd go, this is weird. Cool. And you just kind of go with it like Dandy did, and I just kind of react in the moment, and it worked out. And so for him learning to be very present and not go in with preconceived notions about what I want to do with the character, just live in it. And I learned how to do that through that.
What I loved about the character, and I consider this kind of, I hope you consider it as praise, is that he kind of had this very Bruce Campbell way of living.
I appreciate that. No, that's awesome, Bruce Campbell. I've heard Zap Brannigan. I've heard a few other things. I like Bruce. That's good. Like
now, because you had no idea what would happen at the end while you were recording that, did you have any personal theories on why Dr. Gel was chasing Dandy before that true reveal at the end?
I thought about it as much as Dandy did. And that was it was glorious. It was a glorious headspace to live in for a while, because people would tell you their sides of the episode before you see them, and you'd be like, oh, cool, weird. And I don't know. So, yeah, no, I didn't think about it. It was because Dandy didn't think about it, because it was just like, oh, there's a guy coming after me? Cool. And that's, he didn't really process it, so I didn't at the time. I felt like Gel was a Jet Black reference. I look at the two of them next to each other.
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a part of me that was watching. I was like, what if this is like a fever dream Spike Spiegel is having after the events of Toys in the Attic?
I mean, we do have the Toys in the Attic reference in there.
Yes, we do.
And the Wulongs as well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of connected in some way, shape, or form.
Same universe as... I don't know. I think we got the official that it's the same universe, but I don't know. I'm not sure on that. Mm.
We'll let our listeners come up with some crazy theories.
I'm sure that the listeners are way more intelligent than me and can go online and find the actual answer to that. I don't know. Because does Dandy know? No, he doesn't know.
Dandy doesn't know. Dandy doesn't care. All he cares about is just hitting that sweet wave. Ooh, and movies.
Yeah, baby.
So... moving on to another character, one of my favorite underappreciated series that you got to work on was a show called Princess Jellyfish.
Oh, yeah.
You got to play the character of Shu, and yeah. I was wondering if you can talk about your portrayal of this character, because you had to balance this sort of distrust for women, but then you're starting to blossom for this love for Tsukimi. So how do you, like, balance both of these sorts of mentalities and come up with the character for Shu?
Well, for me and with Shu, I think all of us have spent probably a decent amount of time extremely awkward around the opposite sex or the sex that we like. And it's a true thing that I think we all feel, and I just found that kernel in myself and made that kernel my entire body, and then just lived as awkward as humanly possible. And we all know what that's like, to like somebody and not, I can't talk around, oh, I'm just embarrassing
like,
yourself.
My tongue feels like it's just swelling up right now.
Yeah.
I can't make a coherent syllable, let alone a word.
Exactly. So, I lived that when I was him, and all the decisions informed themselves after that.
Very cool. And again, it's a fantastic role. It's still a show that a lot of people that I talk to really cherish, because they do relate to a lot of characters on that series.
I love that show. Thank you. And it was always very funny to me that Suabe also played Shu, So, like, when I tell people that Shu was played by Japanese dandy, though.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that crazy? He's so good.
He is a good actor.
He's so good.
So, let's move from the lighthearted, let's move to a creepy character that you have played. Someone that is brimming with creepiness, that is of the Reaper in Assassination Classroom.
The Reaper! So much fun!
So, talk about how you draw the evil out into
It's not evil, it's just... I mean, he's a sociopath, but... No, he's, he was having fun, and he didn't care for the lives of the people that he was killing on screen. So, I had fun, and I didn't care whether, I hadn't watched that season of Assassination Classroom, so it was just a bunch of kids, just like he was experiencing. I was like, cool! So, I'm gonna kill you! Good luck! And it was just fun, and he's smiling, and so I get to have fun and smile, and I just had a blast. It was so much fun. For me, in general, and all the characters you've named, well, except for Shu, the majority of my favorite characters are all people for whom the stakes are lower for them than for everybody else involved. Dandy, Whis, Reaper, everybody, they're just having fun because they're not too bogged down by other stuff. And that allows you as a voice actor to really play because you're not taking yourself seriously because you're just having fun. And when we all have fun, we go up with our voices down, change our pitch inflection, we do funny little voices and stuff like that. So I just have fun. He's just fun. Pure fun. That was one of the most fun villains I've had.
So, moving from that, from a fun villain like that, to a more badass villain, because still to the date, one of my favorite anime series is a show called Drifters. Oh, and Drifters, your role as Hijikata, and how did you, portray, because he's a real person, he was a real person during World War II. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if you did a lot of research on the real one
I did, he was terrifying.
He was terrifying.
Yeah. He shows up in Golden Kamuy, actually, which is a show I'm doing right now. I told the director, I'm like, oh my god, there's so much in that! And he's like, oh good, we did that, he was in Drifters? I said, yeah. He goes, good, we'll just get the actor who played that. I'm like, yeah, little problem. That's me, and I'm not going to play the 80-year-old man. I loved him. He's terrifying, and he's driven, and he has his ideas, and so if you just put in your mind the staunch ideas that he has and the belief system that he does not deviate from, and you believe those things, the person on screen, being disrespectful in battle is something that really irked him. If you are in that mindset of that Hijikata would have, when you see Josh Greeley's character running around going, it pisses you off. And then it comes out in the performance.
And it is a fantastic performance.
Thank you, it hurt.
Let's talk about something that probably doesn't hurt as much. Let's talk about the fact that you play some pretty, very food-friendly characters from Toriko to, right now, Whis in Dragon Ball Super. Out of curiosity, is there, a culinary treat out there that makes you become as hardcore foodie as these two characters are?
These characters just are now an excuse for me to be the foodie that I am. People think I'm just being in character about Whis. No, it's my biggest passion is food. I am a foodie. The most fun thing for me to do on a weeknight is to go find some new food that I haven't had or to introduce foods to people. I'm a barbecuer. I love to barbecue. I love to cook. If I'm bored at home, I'm figuring out new foods to cook, and I lucked into it. None of these parts were given to me because I was a foodie. It just weirdly keeps happening, and I love it because now I go to cons and people will be like, would you like to go to the best ramen place in town? And I'm like, yes, of course I do. Thank you. In fact, if there's a great ramen place in town, please tell me.
I don't. Kim, is there a good ramen place in town?
I've been here for 3 months.
I would have found it within the first week. I'm that kind of crazy person.
I got you.
I like good Thai food.
All right. Let's move on to a role that I'm sure is probably it's a different kind of terror than I'm sure to portray is. Because you were the very first person to dub for the role of Peepamee in Pup in Epic.
Yeah.
How did you not lose your mind over the randomness of the show?
So that show, to me, it looks weird and random to us because we are Americans. I feel like our experience watching that show is probably the experience a Japanese person would have watching Robot Chicken. Because, say, a Robot Chicken makes a Micro Machines reference. We all giggle at the old Micro Machines commercials because we remember them from our childhood. But a Japanese person would be like, what are they doing there? I don't get it. Why is that guy talking fast? Because it isn't already in our conscious. So there are so many references in that that we cannot and will not get if you just don't know Japanese culture. And so we all kind of just stumbled through that show, making sure that we did what they did as truthfully to the sentiment they did, and looking up as many references as we could to understand it. But most of the time, you would do it, and you would say the words, and you'd look out at the director and go, was that it? And they'd go, moving on. And you go, really? But I had this idea. And he goes, nope, good, bye, moving on.
Oh, my God.
To maintain the rawness and the spontaneity of the reads and everything like that. So it was absolutely bizarre. But then the Bob Epic Team stuff that I got to do was just an absolute joy. And Chris Sabat's one of my best friends, and so we were really happy that we got to do that together. And, yeah, like that.
I'm the cat thing.
One of my favorite things I've done in my career.
Meow, meow.
Oh, so my weird. God. You ask the questions.
Yes. You are also involved with probably one of the most popular shows right now, My Hero Academia.
Double Decker. Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, Double Decker is awesome.
Just kidding. Shameless plug. Watch Double Decker, Doug and Crail.
No, that show is amazing.
I love that show so much.
I watch it and I'm like, when Travis comes to the stage, I'm like, that's the Harvey Birdman boss.
Yes, yeah, yeah. No,
that's
he's
him.
Oh, my gosh. I hadn't thought about that.
Oh, my God. You never realized.
No.
For like the first 5 minutes, he shows up like...
He reminded me of Spotsworth from Team America. That sort of like, hello there, how are you? But yeah, no, that's absolutely what that's ringing for me. Anyway, you're Dragon Ball.
No, My Hero Academia.
My Hero, oh sure.
Alright, because with the world of My Hero Academia being so huge and vast that there's always a possibility of spin-off shows. So, because you play a villain character in Mezo Shoji.
He's a villain? He's Class 1A.
He is?
Yeah. He's one of the main class. I'm a good boy. I've literally carried that.
Oh my God, you know what? I'm getting Chuck Huber's character mixed up right now.
Ask me a Chuck question. Dude, Emperor Pilaf is one of my greatest joys to do every time. I am doing my Edith Bunker, which is literally what he does for that. Let's see what else. Android 17. That one's every time I do it.
No, you are Mezo Shoji. You are a part of Class 1A. Hey, you are the multi-limbed character.
I am.
So, how would you picture a show about Mezo Shoji?
Oh, I think he terrifies enough people as this. Shoji, honestly, as a comic book nerd, I could launch into a huge diatribe about how he is so underappreciated and how his power set is actually stronger than the majority of Class 1A. But as one of the voice actors, I'll say it's just a lovely thing to be a part of. I really like the show, and it's wonderful.
All right, so let's go back to Double Decker. What is like your favorite moment been so far?
Yeah, I like Double Decker. It's Micah Salasad is my favorite moment. Every time that man speaks, he's just so good. I love so many things about that show. I love how LGBTQ positive it is. I love how like the characters are just super bad. You cannot make a character as badass as Doug without having someone like Kirill sitting there going, he's so neat! and like, Doug is one of the coolest guys I've gotten to play, and he's very difficult for me because I have to change my normal instincts as an actor because I don't play someone, I very rarely play someone that level of cool. He is the definition of cool, and it's really hard for a really weird nerdy kid to figure out how to sound cool, but man is it fun, and all the action in it is insanely good, and everybody's crushing in it. Jamie Markey's amazing in it. Barry Yandell is hilarious, everything he says.
I totally agree. I will have one gripe though about Double Decker, and it's the fact that if you listen to the end theme, I swear to God, it's Fight for Your Right to Party.
Oh no, that's not going to get out of my head. Oh, no, that's not good. My room and listen to that.
And next time you hear the theme song, start doing the verses.
You wake up late for school, man, you don't want to go. You ask your mom, please, but she's still
Oh, my God, it is. You blew my mind. I'm going to go tell the director on that.
So, all right. We're living in a very interesting time right now because because anime's now the go-to when it comes to Hollywood adaptations. Because now we have Attack on Titan, mm-hmm. We have My Hero Academia has just been announced, we've had a few other shows. If you had the chance to chat it up with somebody in Hollywood about...
Dandy.
You would say Dandy to turn into a live-action series.
Absolutely. You get to go... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Is that where you were going?
Yeah, that's where I was going.
Okay. Oh, here's my reason. I think it could be Guardians of the Galaxy-style space fun jam epic with funky music and... I mean, I wouldn't be right for Dandy. You'd have to find... I wouldn't even know. Get John Hamm. John Hamm would be a good Dandy.
John Hamm,
he would be a great Dandy. He's hilarious. That dude is hilarious. I want John Hamm Dandy.
John Hamm's not the only the role of John Hamm as Dandy isn't the only time he's ever come up. The other time that he's ever come up in a discussion with my friends, John Hamm playing Roger Smith from Big O.
Okay. I'm still going to be thinking about John Hamby all day.
No, John Hamm as Space Dandy would be fantastic.
Great. He's got the chin. He's got the funny. He'd be brilliant. That's what I'd want. But then I had to come in and dub all of his lines.
No, that would be like a cool, like a bonus on the Blu-ray. They redub everything with the Funimation cast.
Make it happen.
Yeah.
Come on, Internet. Make it happen.
So, out of all the characters you've played, who do you relate to the most and why?
Well, I try to take small different facets of my personality, blow them up, and take what real things come from that. So every one of them is a small facet of my personality. There's a lot of me that is Space Dandy, but it's kind of the part you repress. And you don't, you know, as you become an evolved male, you don't go into those kind of instincts. Whis, I deeply relate to in some foodie ways. It's all just small facets of your personality. There's no one specifically I do.
I don't know, man. It's been 15 years. I got a lot of people I had to figure out.
I can just see the transcript of the Ian mumbles and incoherent.
No, don't worry. This is an uncut podcast.
Oh, good.
That was me mumbling incoherently. Thank you for listening to this podcast. It's been a lot of fun.
Chris Sabat did that during one of our interviews, too.
Yeah, but Chris Abbott did that, too. How are you doing, Chris? Good to hear you. Or we can do the NPR, where we are here, and we are talking about anime. And, what's the next question?
I listen to a lot of...
All right. So, I know you talked about playing, you know, your fun characters and everything like that, but... Hero or villain? Which is the most fun to play?
Villain.
Villain?
Villain or... Oh, I will curse. Villain or assholes. Guys who are just dicks are a lot of fun because they don't care. That's the problem with a lot of people who are assholes. It's because they don't care about everybody who's around them. But that's really fun to play because you get to be like, what? Shut up! Blah, blah, blah. The Zap Rene. No, Zap Renfro from... Bloodblockade Battlefront. That's one of my favorites that I've played because it is... A villain who is truly taking joy out in things is also fun. I'll tell you, the least interesting person to play in any show is the hero. Generally, most shonen-type heroes or most big heroes are pretty boring. I want to do everything. I want to push myself beyond. I'm here for my friends. And, like, we're all going to do this together. And, you know, whatever catchphrase that we've got for this show.
I'm going to be the number one Hokage horse girl.
Whatever it is. It's the same, and it's a very pure motivation, and it's fun. But you have to stay within that pure motivation. That's why we love him. If Goku all of a sudden started making sarcastic a-hole remarks, it wouldn't feel right. Goku needs to be inhabit this ideal. And that's what he is, and that's why we love Goku. But, just as long as it's not the boring hero.
Alright, so the final question.
Please.
If you found yourself stuck on a deserted island, mm-hmm. Which three characters that you have played in the past would you like to have with you to keep you sane until your imminent rescue, and why?
Whis, because I would never worry for anything.
Although he might eat everything.
Yes, but he shares. He would share enough to keep me alive. I would like to say Toriko, but he'd eat over... No, he would also find a ton of food and keep me protected, so we're gonna go with that. Man, Dandy just would just be a mess. I'm thinking Dandy. No, Brooke. I love him, but no. Actually, I'd have a lot of fun if Brooke were there. And Shoji could probably really help out. I'm going to say those three could get me out of any situation that I would need to. Actually, Whis would get me out of any situation. Like, we have a Hulk. Well, we have a Whis.
Ian, thank you so much for joining us here on Boss of Bad Brigade. And, my God, it was a thrill to chat with you. That was fun.
Thank you. Good.
Joined by three fantastic voice actors, one of which you are very familiar with, two of which are first-timers here on Boston Bastard Brigade. First and foremost, one hell of a butler, Mr. J. Michael Tatum.
Hello. Nice to be back.
Yes. Secondly, we have Amnesiac, who now pilots a big, massive, giant robot dude, Ben McGinnis.
Yes, that's me.
And we have probably the most hated character in all Full Metal Alchemist. Chuck Huber.
Fetch, Nina, fetch.
So, how are all of you doing today?
Good.
Good.
Yeah, good.
How are we?
We're good.
Yes. Yes. We say good.
We're good.
Yeah.
Good.
We've taken a vote, and we've decided we're good.
Okay, terrific. But so, Chuck, I apologize in advance for this, but I have to ask...
I forgive you in advance.
I gotta ask J. Michael and Brandon, how was Paris?
Paris was good.
We hung out with a lot of dead people.
So many dead people.
We did.
Molière,
Balzac, Oscar Wilde.
Sarah Bernhardt. It was great.
Oscar Wilde.
Good time. Yeah. Oh, and we got engaged. That happened.
Yes. Yeah. Congratulations. Right.
Right. We thought we'd really rub it into the dead. We were like,
married too.
Yeah. Especially Oscar Wilde. He was pissed. So bad.
I couldn't do that to an
write a poem about this.
It was magical. This is my first time in Paris, and Brandon's third?
Third or fourth.
He was several times, so he was a wonderful guy.
We did all kinds of cool, fun stuff. We got to see the catacombs. We did like a private tour of the catacombs. We got to spend like 3 hours down there.
Yeah, highly recommend that.
Yeah, we got to climb the bell towers.
Notre Dame,
which was great.
Sanctuary.
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah, yeah. It was nice. It was magical. It's just a wonderful city to be in and walk around and people watch.
And to eat food in. Oh, that's God. What you do in Paris. You just
eat food and drink wine.
Everything, and you walk it off. It's
just fun. Yeah. It's true. We actually lost weight there, even though we ate like foie gras every day, and cheese, and all sorts of
they
things.
They put so much butter in their scrambled eggs. It's divine.
Oh, yeah. Mm. It was amazing.
Have you ever been to Paris, Chuck?
No. Wait, let me revise my answer. No. Texas, Paris, Texas.
You know, I've never been to Paris, Texas.
It's nice.
That's a Paris. Nice?
No, it's not. It's alright. For Paris, Texas, it's great.
Okay. I sang in Paris, Texas once. I don't remember it.
But you sang in Paris, France, too.
I did sing in Notre Dame. It's actually really hard to sing in Notre Dame. It's so big that you get like a 4-second delay on the reverb. So you're singing and you hear yourself from 4 seconds prior. It's really distracting.
It's possible that your singing experience in Paris, Texas was better than singing in Paris.
It actually was simpler. It was easier.
Yeah, there you go.
But
not as long of a drive.
Right. That's true.
It was wet.
Not as wet. Yeah, not as wet.
You don't have to drive.
You don't have to get an amphibious car. Yeah. They have the highway now that goes, the transatlantic highway. Do you know that?
Thing.
Yeah, you can traverse it about 5 hours or so.
You know, taking the word gullible out of the dictionary.
No kidding?
Yeah.
Drive your amphibious vehicle.
Yes.
Your frog car. Oh, you can't call, it. You can't call it that in Paris. They get mad. Or would they?
I don't know. But anyway, congratulations to both of you. We're very excited. And we're also very excited that you're here joining us, Chuck.
Thank you.
Too. But
even though he didn't engage to either. He didn't ask either.
I didn't ask either one of them to marry me.
And that's why we finally settled for each other.
Wow, that was good.
Chuck's just never going to ask. I guess
you are no one.
That's why you said yes so quickly. Now I understand.
Alright. So, because I feel like this is going to be a little bit special. I have two routes we can go. I have all these questions of things you've probably answered in the past. Mm-hmm. The usual anime route. Or we can do what I've actually told many guests in the past. I actually refer to as the Tatum route of doing interviews.
And where I answer one question...
Oh, God, what is that?
That was right next to the microphone.
It's so hard.
Is that a Chuck E. Cheese token?
It's actually a Sailor Moon token.
Oh!
We're going to do a coin toss, a back-and-forth coin toss. If I win, or the three of us, we win, we do the normal thing of doing the interview.
I can win.
If you win, you get to put us in the hot seat.
Oh, yes, I'm all about this.
All right.
You're all about
this? Do you have a designated flipper?
We can each
pick turns. Brandon, you're going to be our designated flipper.
That was so much meaning.
I mean, obviously.
Wow.
All right. I like this plan, guys.
Yeah, I like it. This is interesting.
This is fun.
All right. Derek, Kim, get a little bit closer over here.
It's okay. Just
stand there.
Just go with it. That's what therapy's for.
All right. So three against three. We've got J. Michael Tatum, Brandon McGinnis, and Chuck Huber versus myself, Elite Four, Derek, and...
Just Kim.
You don't want me to refer you to what we used to call you on Box of Bass Brigade? Okay.
Just Kim.
All right, so, are you good at coin flipping?
Yeah, I'm like an expert.
All right. Heads or tails?
You gotta call in the air for it to be legal.
Wait, which one's heads and which one's tails?
Yeah, which one is
okay, heads is Moon Prism Power Makeup.
Oh.
And then tails is the Sailor Moon logo.
All right. Okay. All right.
Logo tails.
To be a legal flip, it has to be called in the air. So I will wait until it's in the air, and then I will say. Or should I call?
Are we doing a ground flip, or am I catching it and then flipping it? Which one?
I thought you were an expert.
Oh, there's different routes that we can go. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Call it.
Heads.
It is Sailor Moon.
Tails. Oh. All right. That's in the hot seat. All right. So let's start with an interesting question, because right now there is a lot of Hollywood adaptations in the works for anime series. Recently announced Attack on Titan and My Hero Academia. So my question for each one of you is, if you had the chance to talk to a Hollywood bigwig and convince them to do a live-action version of an anime that you hold near and dear, which would it be and why?
I'd do a mini series of Baccano. That would be good.
Ooh,
really good.
That would be a good one.
That'd be a lot of fun.
I don't like adaptations generally into live action. It's already there. Just watch that. You know, it would have to be really, really good. But I would the adaptation. Like, I would tell them, like, they could choose any number of series that I like. But I would tell the producer, like, please make it worth our time, rather, like, give me a reason to watch what you're doing rather than just go back and watch what's already been done and already captured my heart, because otherwise it just kind of feels cheap and like a cash grab. So that's my answer.
Okay.
So Game of Thrones. The Game of Thrones TV series has differences from the books.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, it adds so much because it's something new, it's something...
Sure.
So kind of like that.
Yeah, just make it a creative adaptation. Don't just try to like capture lightning in a bottle twice by reproducing someone else's work.
Make it good. Like you'd have to make it actually good.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'd say. But it's hard to do. That's my own opinion, of course, but
I get that. I feel like 91 Days would be a really good
live action. Yeah. This is a very Tarantino-esque kind of anime
stuff
series.
Would work really well.
They did it right.
Yeah.
All right. Is it our turn to flip?
Yes, it is.
It's right by the copy.
Oh, right.
I didn't know we were just continuing.
Right. Call it in the air. Who's the caller?
I will call it.
All right.
Tails. Ooh, heads.
Oh, so we get to ask him a question. Let's ask them a question. Anyone?
I don't want to know any.
Yeah, I know. We're not even like, what did you ask? How was your day?
I kind of want to be mean.
Oh, let's do it this way. Let's ask the question this way. I'll say the first word of the question. You say the second.
Oh, like a 300 professor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
If you
had
one chance
to
survive
a
Holocaust.
What?
Which
person
would
you
choose
to
go
with
you?
Why'd you have to say Holocaust?
I was like, what's a really bad thing that you have to survive?
Ooh.
That's the first thing I thought of.
Yeah, all those Holocausts.
I mean, I'm wishing you guys well. I want you to live. I want you to know that.
If I was to pick somebody famous, at least someone that can make me laugh, I'd say Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen would be good.
Seth Rogen would be like all I would have to do is just laugh and be like, oh, I feel so much better now. Oh God, the pain is starting again. And then he'd just go, oh, I'm feeling joyful again. Oh God, all he would have to do is just do that laugh and I just feel better, even though when he stops, the pain would start again.
Listen, Seth always has the hookup, so at least he'd be stoned the whole time.
That too.
If I survive a Holocaust, I want to make sure there's still Doritos afterwards. And with Seth Rogen around, I'm not really sure if that would be available.
Are you kidding? I feel like he's a one-man market for it, so they just produce more Doritos because of him.
It's true.
I also feel like this is the plot of a Jerry Lewis movie.
It
that
is.
Was made in like
it
the
is.
60s and banned, but
yeah, the clown who cried.
Yeah. Where do we go
and
from here?
If he brought him along, most likely James Franco would be hiding in his closet somewhere. Super one.
This has got to be edited out. I'm just saying. You can't third rail the comedy. Although, what's worse than biting into an apple and finding a worm?
Oh, no.
The Holocaust.
That is definitely much worse.
Much worse. Much worse. All right, here's the flipper.
All right.
Okay.
You'll take a shot.
Sure. All right, call it.
I believe that question was Brandon.
Oh, a tails.
Then it tails.
A tails.
A tails.
A, comma.
That is a heads.
That is a heads. Okay.
So, you ask us another question?
Okay. Great. I don't know how I'm going to top that question that you just asked.
It's pretty easy, actually. Just
yeah.
Yeah. All right. Something lighthearted. The most ridiculous thing that's ever happened to you in the voice acting booth.
The Holocaust.
We ruined it.
It's dead. The joke is gone. Getting cast. Whenever I'm cast, it seems absurd. I'm always like, really? You gave me this? All right.
We'll do it. I feel that sometimes.
One time I did a hero, Nahara from Shin-Chan, does a striptease, and it embarrassed me to do it. And so they locked me in the booth and brought people in and played it while I was embarrassed. Because it's very hard to embarrass me. I am never embarrassed. Nothing embarrasses me. And they were like, you're actually embarrassed. So they wanted other people to see it, to, like, document. Mm.
That's really funny.
Are there pictures? Pictures?
No. Is there a YouTube video?
Probably.
Yeah.
I had to, it was the first time I was, it was early days for me, and I was in Dragon Ball GT as someone, and at some point I had to make my first real Dragon Ball scream. And that went on for like 30 seconds, which is a long time. And Zach, who was directing me that night, was like, hold on, we've got a milestone here. So we like opened up the studio door and like let everyone know we're about to do Tatum's first Dragon Ball scream, everybody. So they gathered all around and watched me scream and then almost pass out. And they were like, yay, welcome to the club called Anyone That's in Dragon Ball.
That's true.
What about you?
Mine is recent. I was filming. I was recording on Black Clover, and there's a line that Finral has where he's making fun of someone. He's just quoting them casually, and it's a female character, like a chibi character. And the direction was, oh, you're just making fun of her, so just imitate her poorly. He's like, okay, that's easy. I can't do a woman's voice anyway, which is totally fine. So I did my impression, and Chris George stopped and went, okay, so that sounded too much like a woman. Let's go back and just make fun of her. I'm a little creeped out right now. Okay, so he played it back, and I was creeped out. And he said, you should work on that and have that in your wheelhouse. And I said, great, there's a huge, huge availability for me to use a convincing female voice.
I got to hear the recording as well, and I thought, that's creepy. Never do that anymore.
I'm kind of creeped out. So that was my biggest...
Yeah.
Alright.
Alright, here we go. All right.
Call in the air.
Heads.
We'll give it to you.
Heads. You win.
Okay.
I shouldn't give it to you.
So I know you probably just spoke about it, but I wanted to ask about your, because Dragon Ball is like the most like iconic thing that Funimation has. Mm-hmm. What was your first experience with Dragon Ball? Whether it was, you know, you recording it or like the first time you've ever seen it?
I was in rehearsals, and a buddy of mine said, you should go audition for this Dragon Balls thing. And I was like, Dragon Balls? That sounds like porn. And he was like, no, it's Japanese anime. And I was like, okay, it's definitely porn. Then he gave me this guy's number named Chris, and I called him, and he was like, hey, yeah, you want to audition? Yeah, that'll be great, man. Yeah, like, come in, like, tomorrow or like, today. Tomorrow would be good. Maybe, like, hold on, let me get a pencil. And then history was made. I ended up
close my eyes, I would have sworn that Chris Sabat was here with us right now.
It's true. I do a spot on. That's the only impression.
It's pretty creepy. It is. Now, I don't think I've ever seen the two of you in the same room together. Is this a con you've been playing?
Yes, I am Chris Sabat. Can't you tell by my voice?
I think my first experience of Dragon Ball Z was I was hitting the gym, and I met a bunch of guys that like grew up watching it and were like really into, and that they were into weights because they all wanted to be Goku or Vegeta, and so they'd be like, Kamehameha! And I was like, what are y'all doing? And they had to explain to me what it was, and I was like, oh, I'm vaguely aware of that show, but I'd never seen it. And so I watched it, and then a few years later I was a voice actor and I got to be in it, and I became the coolest person in my gym because I got to be like a guy in glasses that leads Goku into the afterlife. And they were like, dude, do you know Goku? I was like, well, I don't know him. At the time I hadn't met Sean yet. And so, yeah, that was my first like conscious memory of Dragon Ball being in my life. It was the guys I worked out with were like totally grew up wanting to be Goku.
So,
they were pretty ripped.
Yes.
The Dragon Ball Bros are ripped.
They really are. I mean, they
travel in a pod too. There's like
six,
seven of them.
Yes. Oh, same pod.
like dolphins, but not as cute.
Dragon Ball first came to prominence when I was younger, and I watched a lot of anime as a kid, but I was so weirded out by Goku's Japanese voice that I just thought it was a really weird show, like really weird, and I didn't give it a chance at all until I was much older. Mm. That's a good show.
You know, I have to actually tell you the story about my first experience with it, because when I was in high school, it was starting to air on Toonami, and like all my friends were, and I was starting to watch, you know, like Sailor Moon and Tenchi Muyo and a couple of the other shows, and people were telling me, you gotta watch Dragon Ball Z. And I was kind of like, okay. He's like, no, dude, seriously, it's so badass, it's so action-packed. And then finally, after a few months, okay, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to watch an episode of Dragon Ball Z and see how badass of a show it is. Would you like to know the very first episode of Dragon Ball Z I watched?
Which one?
Goku and Piccolo go for their driver's license.
That's pretty hardcore, man.
So action packed.
It's a great jumping in place.
It's right before the Cell Saga, but it's like,
that's like watching Doctor Who and starting with Blink. I mean, it's exactly like that. It's the gateway episode.
It is kind of the gateway episode for its humor. Not so much for its action, save for the car crashes, but
let's be honest, Dragon Ball Z is animated Mexican wrestling. I'm just going to say that. I think that's the truth.
And that well, considering that they had, like, what, this whole huge event in Mexico where 60,000 people watched the finale?
It's like bad guy, good guy, power up, bad guy, good guy, tag team in. It's a fight.
The commentary is the same.
Yeah.
Signature finishing.
It's just a professional wrestling. And so the costumes are more like the Mexican player.
All right.
I love that, actually.
Yeah, no, it's just good. That's why.
I should add that my gym buddies that were really into it grew up watching the Spanish dub, and they were like,
"Oh yeah!"
So they were super into it.
It scratches the same itch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
of good versus evil,
truth,
very truth,
and power.
All right, looks like we have time for one more question. Our expert Flipper. Okay.
Do it. You called it.
Right. I haven't called yet.
Who's calling it?
I will.
You're calling it.
Tails.
Tails, right?
Tails, all
right. Right.
The last question.
Who's got a question?
You go, sir. I need a good one. It's the last.
If you could be any character we've played, who would it be and why? And go down the line.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not easy being
a good
athlete, is it?
It's a good one.
That all right.
Choose wisely, because we're going to judge
you. I'm judging you already.
Okay. All right. For you, Chuck Huber, I would say that I would like to be Shin-Chan's dad. As much as a little pipsqueak dealing with Shin-Chan would be, he's a very fun guy, even when he gets super drunk, but he doesn't let society beat him down too much. Let the wife do that, though.
Yeah, as much as beat down as he is, he's still a pretty positive guy.
He is still a pretty positive guy.
But I get up again. You're never gonna keep me down.
All right, Tatum. Mm. It's kind of cheating. I would say Kraft Lawrence, because then I get to hang out with my waifu Holo.
You mean Lawrence Kraft?
Lawrence Kraft. I know! It's Kraft Lawrence in the Japanese dub and Lawrence Kraft in the English dub.
Can they reverse the order?
I know! You made the point in the last panel.
But that's a good choice. He's good
people. He's a great one. Plus, he's good with money. He's very financially
stable.
He's
good with money, he's good with people, and he's a bit of an adventurer, but he's not reckless.
It's a great show.
Yeah,
it's a
beautiful very show.
Good choice.
Very good show. Brandon McGinnis. I guess I'll be the man taking control of Gridman. Because Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad was my jam when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah? You would have awful amnesia and you wouldn't know what is going on at any given time.
I get to pilot a big giant robot.
That's fair.
And plus, I get to hang out with at least one cute girl.
At least one cute girl.
So those might be my picks. Do you have any suggestions from any of these characters?
Just say same. I will say same, but I will say having a ninja dog as one of my underlings with giant robots would be really fun, so I'm going to have to say Pilaf.
No, that's an excellent choice.
Chuck, J. Michael, Brandon, thank you so much for joining us here on Boston Bash Brigade. This was it's always a blast to have you, Tatum, and it is now officially a blast to have you, Huber, and McGinnis on our show as well.
Thank you.
And best of luck with the rest of another anime convention, and I hope this was good practice for tonight.
Oh, yeah, I'm still gonna beat you. Don't worry, you don't have a chance in hell.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's fine.
Chores, mores, dynamic, let's go, go, die, panic, market, auto. Let's go!
all trees? What if I'm, like, on, like, a big open plane?
They sell the stands for them. You can just bring with you.
Yeah, but yeah, that's pack weight.
Or you can
Chuck Huber is apparently a huge thru-hiker.
You can just find a utility pole and just, like, hook it up to that.
There's all sorts of things, like, with your... I'm just learning thru-hiking, and then I spent a lot of time talking to Chuck Huber on the way up here because he's big into it and he's breaking it down, so that's why that was my joke. But I'm genuinely looking at those tents in between my sessions. I'm like, I think I'm going to get one. There's an REI signal.